Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Niamh Hayes. This is a podcast all about health and wellness, where I'll be sharing information and tips and hearing from people who have their own health and wellness story to tell. This week's episode is with Amanda Brack, co-owner of Recalibrated Bodies, an online fitness and nutrition coaching company, and Titan Fitness Algarve. She chats about how she went from being told that she shouldn't work in the fitness industry to building an incredibly successful business with her husband. I hope you enjoy. Amanda, welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast.
Good morning, Niamh. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's so lovely to have you. So tell me, for anyone who doesn't know you, give me a quick background as to who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Amanda. I'm originally from Ireland, living in Portugal with two little girls and co-founder of both Recalibrated Bodies, which is an online nutrition and training business, and co-founder of Titan Fitness Algarve, which is one of Europe's largest outdoor training areas.
Amazing. Yeah, you're just involved in so much, and I'm going to get into it in little bits. But what I want to start with is your own background in health and fitness. If anyone follows you online, you know, you're so into your training, but I suppose it's probably changed a lot over the years. So tell me, when did you kind of first get involved in fitness training? Were you always kind of conscious of your health and wellness?
Yes. So I'm originally from Six Mile Bridge in Clare, which is a mad hurling village. As long as I can remember, grew up playing camogie, played football with the county as well, and played soccer. So I was always heavily involved in sports from a young age. It was just kind of bred into us, and my family would be a big hurling family as well. My first time going to the gym, I was 16, so 22 years ago, which is crazy to think. And I just got hooked from then. It just brought so much self-awareness. It gave me a lot of like stress relief. And obviously my training has evolved over the years from my bodybuilding background and then training through pregnancies, and now training for me is just something to maintain health and well-being, and it just gives me that hour to myself a couple of times a week where I can switch off from work and the kids and all of those adulting duties.
And was it always something you kind of knew you wanted to work in?
Yeah, so I was 16 when I first did my first session, and I remember going into my careers guidance guy in school and telling him I wanted to do sport and exercise science in UL. So I was 17 when I started in UL. So it was a year later. And he was like, you'll never get a job in that field. You need to get into like business management. You know, girls don't succeed in those fields. It's very male orientated. Yeah. And as soon as he said that, I was like, I'm enrolling right now and just going to show the world that there is a place for women in every industry. So I started in UL then the year later when I was 17 in that course. And again, at that time, it was very like gender biased. So a lot of like the girls would go to like step aerobics in the halls, aqua aerobics classes like that. And then like the gym was just full of guys. But obviously I did my PT course in that first year in UL and gained a lot of confidence and competence with training in the gym. And I always just remember walking in there in the evening time being like, where are the ladies at? Like, it's so important for our health. It's so important for, you know, so many variables. And it was just really nice to be able to, you know, feel confident in that setting, which I think has changed immensely over the years. But yeah, back in the early 2000s, it was definitely a very male orientated scene.
Super. Yeah, definitely. And did you, at that point, was it a case that you felt like you wanted to work in a gym, or could you see what sort of future you wanted to build in that industry?
To be honest, I didn't really have any idea of where I wanted to go with it, because the course was quite extensive. So you did a lot of like psychology, physiology and biomechanics. And I really enjoyed the biomechanics side of things, which was more the performance analysis. So in my, I got a job in the Radisson. That was my first like proper job as a PT. And I really enjoyed it. It was such a diverse role, doing programming for groups, classes, and for individuals. I learned a lot of skills there. And then in third year of UL, I had to pick somewhere to go on placement. And I thought, let's see where Australia could be an option. And I was really lucky to get involved with lab in the University of the Sunshine Coast, which was affiliated with the AIS in Canberra. And I took on like an internship there in, I suppose I was doing a little bit of everything, but my main focus was on biomechanics. And I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of bringing in, we worked with the Australian cricket team and the Australian swimming team and doing a lot of their 4D analysis, which was something we didn't have available back in UL. We just didn't have that technology available to us. So from there, I was like, yeah, I think this is the field I want to get into. And I was really lucky they offered me to do my master's program there. So I went back to UL in 2005, September 2005, and I did my final year. And then I moved out to Australia kind of longer term in as soon as I graduated in 2006 and started my master's program there. It was awesome. It was a great experience, but it was all very much lab-based. I suppose I was a little bit naive because it just sounded a lot shinier than what it was. So it was like maybe an hour or two a week with athletes and then 38 hours a week of analyzing data. And okay. I remember at the end, like I did my program and then I just remember at the end being like, this is such an awesome opportunity, but I'm a real people person. Like I'm pretty sure I was talking to the computer at some stages because I just missed that interaction. So yeah, I was really grateful for the opportunity and the people I met there. I met some really good contacts. But I definitely knew I wanted to be more involved with the people side of things as opposed to the data side of things.
Cool. Okay. I think it's really great, you know, getting those opportunities and experiences. And even if you don't like something, you know, that's such good feedback for you, because then you can move into something that you prefer, which you just said, you know, working with people.
Exactly. Exactly. And with the internships, it's such a great way of like identifying what your strengths and weaknesses are. And because it was a multidisciplinary lab, we had like exercise physiologists, biomechanists, we had dietitians, sports psychologists. So it was just really like a diverse workplace and I got a bit of a feel for everything. And yeah, it was a really, really great experience.
So what happened after that then? So you finished your master's and you were living now in Australia at the time.
Living in Australia at the time, finished my master's and had a little bit of, I just didn't know where I wanted to go after that. And I actually got a job as a passenger services manager with a huge airline in Australia, which was such a change in pace. But again, it just gave me that like freedom to work with people. It was a lot of conflict resolution, which is something I really enjoyed in. And I could just hone on my people skills that I had developed over the years. So I stayed there for about 18 months. And at the time I applied to do my GAMSAT, which I passed, and I got offered a place in medicine at the University of Queensland, which I started but didn't last very long, because as soon as I learned that you have like 7 minutes on average with a patient, I was like, I barely get someone's name and how are you today in 7 minutes? So I knew that wasn't my line either. So then I changed courses and did my Bachelor of Science in Health and Nutrition.
Okay, cool. Wow, that was a big change. What actually made you go into medicine first?
Again, it just came back to like, how can I help people? And I suppose like that was always the top tier, like being a doctor is where you can kind of help most people. And of course, there's like a place for them. But I suppose I just wanted to help people in a different aspect. And at the time, when the opportunity was there, I just followed through with it. I never thought I would pass the GAMSAT to start with, let alone be offered a place. So I kind of just ran with it. And then, yeah, I just remember ringing mom and dad and being like, yeah, this isn't what I want to do. And my dad is really like traditional. And he's like, but a doctor is such a great job. And I was like, but I'm not happy there. So yeah, it was a turbulent couple of months of trying to get that message across, but it was well worth it. So yeah, I started my second degree then in health and nutrition, health sciences and nutrition. And I got a job, part-time job working in a supplement company. And I really enjoyed that because you were like dealing with people's ailments on the fly and obviously, you know, learning different aspects of the supplement companies and how they work and all the rest. And from there, I built up a bit of a network. So when I graduated, I had almost a pretty full schedule of clients to start with, which was, yeah, it was really nice. And I ran my clinic from there in Brisbane and the Gold Coast. And then when we eventually moved to Sydney, from Sydney too. So that was a really nice culmination of, I suppose, like getting to work with people, helping people, and also like fulfilling my need to be around people. So, yeah.
Amazing. And that clinic, was it purely nutrition, or was it, were you doing fitness and exercise as well?
It was purely nutrition at the time. So again, it was a multidisciplinary clinic where we had like GPs, physiotherapists, physical therapists, dietitians, all kind of supporting each other and referring each other. It's something in Australia that's actually like huge. And I think Dublin have a few clinics like that coming through. So I'm sure Ireland will probably see a little bit more of that in the coming years. So that was primarily focusing on nutrition. And then I was just doing my own training in the background.
Okay.
Cool.
Now, you mentioned we there a second ago. So you obviously met your now husband along the way as well.
Met Daniel. I was his boss. still am, by the way. But yeah, many years ago, 2012. And he was doing his cadetship with QantasLink to become a pilot. And he was working part time in the same supplement store. And yeah, we just kind of hit it off with very similar interests, very similar values, both mad into training and just, yeah, traveling and things like that. And he finished his cadetship, and then my dad got he was diagnosed with cancer. So we moved back to Ireland, which was meant to be a temporary solution. And then we kind of got the travel bug. And yeah, the rest is history. We have obviously been back to Australia to visit his family, but we haven't resided over there since 2013.
Amazing. So at what part of the journey then did you kind of decide, oh, wait a second, we could actually work together and create something amazing?
Yeah. So I suppose when we had moved back, I had left my clients, something I had worked, so a business that I'd worked so hard to try and build in Sydney. And when we went back to Ireland, a lot of people were like, had followed us on Instagram and things like that. And Daniel decided to do his nutrition course while we were kind of traveling, just because he always had an interest in it, and done his PT certificate as well. And I said to him, I was like, I wonder if there's something that we can do, that we could build a business online and bring it anywhere with us in the world, because we, at that point, we had no idea where we were going to end up. And Recalibrated Body for short, was born. We started, the two of us, with one laptop. Very sad story. We spent all of our money traveling. We'd one laptop, and it was you go, I go, for client check-ins, Excel worksheets, PDFs on Microsoft Word. It was very, very basic, but the passion was there to help people, and word of mouth spread. And it kind of, yeah, just kind of grew from there.
Amazing. And when was that? What year was that set up?
2015.
Wow. Okay. Geez. Yeah. Not long or not far away from your 10-year anniversary.
I know. We're nearly there. Nearly there.
Crazy. Okay. So you started out helping people, and like, you have traveled the world since, and the business is booming from what I can see. So how has that business, how has it changed and how has it grown over the years?
So 2015, we started very, very small. We'd big ideas, but like, we just didn't have the means or the capacity to have that from the start. It was a very much a risk-free investment for us. We were living with my family and we didn't have overhead, so we were very fortunate. We didn't have mortgages or kids or anything like that to try and contend with. So we literally just put all of our time and energy into building the business to what it is today. And in terms of involvement, so Daniel was like, right, I want to take my education to the next level. So he went back to do his Bachelor of Science in Strength and Conditioning. I went back and did a diploma in therapeutic counseling, just so I could have more ability to help people beyond nutrition and training. And as you know yourself, like, that's where people, a lot of people have roadblocks and obstacles that they need help overcoming. Yeah. So we kind of put any money that we had made initially back into our own education. And in the last couple of years, we developed our own app. Our custom branded app, I should say, and our team has expanded. And yeah, the same ethos has always been there, just trying to help as many people as we possibly can.
Amazing. Now, you had mentioned at the start about bodybuilding. I'd love to get into this conversation with you. So both yourself and Daniel have competed over the years in it. So how did you first get involved in it and kind of what attracted you to that sport?
Yeah, this is, I don't think I've actually shared this much online at all. So 2015 was when Recal kind of started to take off, and Daniel decided he was going to compete in the June or July. At that time, I didn't really have any interest. I was just happy tipping away and doing my own training. So he did his first competition in October and won men's physique in the national championships. So he was obviously over the moon with that. And it was really interesting for me to be on the outside and just watch that process. And then in November, we got really sad news that Daniel's brother had been killed in Australia. So we had to go back to Australia for 6 weeks. Obviously, it was really hard. It was a homicide. So we had to go through a lot of, I suppose it was very delayed in terms of like, they had to do so many autopsies and the funeral was delayed and delayed and delayed. So it was a really tough, challenging period for us, those 6 weeks. And we left just after Christmas to come back to Ireland. When Daniel got news that he had qualified to represent Ireland in the European Championships. And honestly, that news couldn't have came at a better time because it just gave him a little bit more purpose and something to focus on when, you know, life had been extremely challenging for those six weeks beforehand. So he made the decision in January that he was going to pursue that bodybuilding show. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to jump in with you and just be there as a little bit of a support. And, you know, I trained, I ate well anyway, I didn't have any issues with food. So I was like, let's just see what happens. And me being me, I literally, any goal I set, I generally tend to keep it to myself because I just hate the pressure of, you know, sharing these big announcements online and all the rest. So I was like, I'm just going to tip away myself in the background and see how I get on. So lo and behold, I started my prep with Daniel in January. We literally, obviously, people were aware he was competing. I literally just rocked up on the day of the show and people were like, why are you here and why are you covered in tan? And I was like, oh, I'm actually competing as well. And I had such a positive experience because of that, because I just didn't have any pressure. I really enjoyed the day. I had no expectations whatsoever and I ended up doing quite well. So yeah, it was a really positive experience for us because it gave us something, some like avenue to channel some of that like energy that could have been, you know, a little bit negatively taken, I suppose. And yeah, that was the end of April. So that would have been 2016. And honestly, for me, I know everybody has such different experiences of bodybuilding, but for me, it gave me such drive, determination. I never realized how much, how resilient I am and how much when I focus my energy onto something, I like literally can achieve anything. And in that sport, you really have to be focused. And I honestly think it had such a positive impact on how we've run our businesses since, because, you know, when the days are tough and you just need to keep going, we just kept going. And that has kind of had a really good impact on getting us to where we are today. And yeah, so that was my first show. And then from there, Daniel went to Spain, competed, did so well, and seeing all the girls and the Europeans, I was like, I want to give this a crack. So we started prep again in June and competed together in October, and we both won our categories and Daniel took out the overall as well. So like, it was just such an awesome experience to be able to share that together, and nobody knew what was going on behind the scenes because we didn't, like, we spoke briefly about Michael's passing and all the rest, but it just brought us together so closely. And in that time, we like spent 3 weeks in LA. We prepped at Gold's Gym in LA, which was incredible to be surrounded by so many like amazing athletes over there. We had weddings. We were in Vegas twice for Conor McGregor's fights. So yeah, it didn't impact the quality of your life, because for us, training and eating well is something we do regardless of whether we're in season or off season or whatever it might be. So overall for us, it was a really positive experience. And I really feel it had a massive impact in bringing us to where we are with the business today. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed my time as a competitor.
Amazing, because for anyone who's listening who doesn't know about bodybuilding, you know, it's you're changing your physique so that you can go up on stage and kind of showcase the work you've done. And I suppose there is you know, the kind of excess training, or, you know, getting fixated on food and things can be something that comes in for some people. But it's amazing to hear the other side of it, because whenever I see anything about bodybuilding online, it can be quite negative. Whereas hearing your story now and seeing how it was so positive for both of you, and especially that line where you said you channeled that energy from Michael's passing into this and it just brought you closer, like, that's so lovely to hear.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the thing, it's like every sport has, you know, their pros and cons. And I really think, like, for us, we were both in such a good position. Obviously, mentally, we probably weren't in a great position, but that had nothing to do with our physiques or our self-esteem or confidence in ourselves. That was just literally from the ordeal that we had been through.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of our relationship with food, in terms of, like, our love for training, my people, like, you mentioned excess training there, and my training was 4 days a week. Like, it wasn't anything more than that. And my cardio, I think I got up to maybe 40 minutes a day for 3 or 4 days for when I was in competition prep for nationals. So, but because I had a good starting point as well. Yeah. So, like, a lot of people that maybe compete and have a poor experience or need to do an excessive amount, they probably either A, needed a longer prep period, or just weren't in a good position to start prep at that time. So yeah, it's such a controversial topic, but for me it was really positive. And yeah, it brought us together, like I said, and the determination, the grit, the grind, all of those things that you have to put into any sport. I mean, be it whether you're running a marathon or a bodybuilding competition or for yourself as a rower, all of those, I suppose, qualities that build that mental capacity can be so advantageous in different parts of your life.
Amazing. And, like, so yourself and Daniel, you're traveling the world together, you're building a business together and competing together. Like, but from what I'm hearing, like, that totally just made you stronger, did it?
Yeah, I mean, we've always been in each other's pockets. Like, we met at work, we worked together. Like, we did 6 months long distance when he was doing his cadetship in Adelaide and I was still in Brisbane or the Gold Coast at the time. And yeah, we've always just been together. So, like, everything we do, and, like, people are like, are you not fit to kill him? And I'm like, don't get me wrong, there's definitely days where I'm like, oh my God. But for the best part of it, we just thrive in each other's company, because we bring out the best in each other, and my strengths are his weaknesses and vice versa. So, like, me getting set up today, I was like, Daniel, what's Google Chrome? I have no idea. But, you know, so we can help each other in different ways.
Amazing. I love that. Now, so after the bodybuilding, was there a point that you decided, okay, I've had enough here, I don't want to do it anymore? Or was it something that you kind of just stepped away from for a little bit, or what?
No, I actually did the shows, competed in Spain, represented Ireland, such an amazing experience. And after that, I ended up falling pregnant with Maya. So that was what actually put the end to the career there. Well, not the end to the career, because I will definitely make a comeback at some point.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's a story for another day. And then, yeah, so we then went to Dubai. And obviously, after Michael's death and all the rest, we knew we were going to have to face the trial and all that. So we kind of wanted to be somewhere that was a little bit central to Ireland and Australia. Mm-hmm. So back, or we settled in Dubai August 2017. Our show was in May 2017, and then we went to the Maldives and conceived Maya. That was in the November. So yeah, that was really the change. It was, and nothing to do with, like, retiring or the shows or anything like that. It was just a new chapter to begin.
And how did that change, like, your focus and how you trained and saw your body? Did you start to see your body, I suppose, and what you can do with it and how you can look after it in a different way?
Definitely. I fell pregnant in the November, and definitely seeing your body change, like, it's something I've spoken about, and I see it all of the time because I work with a lot of pregnant women or women that are in like that preconception phase, where seeing your body change can be super challenging. And it wasn't anything to do with like competing or anything like that. It was just literally I had always been fit, healthy and well, and then all of a sudden getting off the couch is an ordeal. So it was more like changing energy levels, changing sleep, your nausea, dealing with all of those like early day symptoms that were really challenging. And then obviously having this massive bump, which I mean, so grateful for, obviously. But I just want to highlight that, like, if women are struggling with body changes in pregnancy, it's something that we need to speak about. It's the number one reason that women, one of the reasons that women experience postnatal depression is changes in their self-esteem and confidence because of those body changes. And I think typically in Ireland, it's like, yeah, but you should be really grateful you could fall pregnant. And I don't think any woman isn't grateful. But I also think that we need to open up that space to let women speak honestly and with vulnerability about how they actually are feeling, as opposed to trying to mask it, because it can just have a knock-on impact once the baby does arrive.
Absolutely, yeah. And were you able to, did you keep training throughout that first pregnancy?
Yeah, so I trained throughout, and I suppose I just got this like burning desire to share that with women, because one of my first experiences in the gym was a male trainer in Dubai. And at this stage, I had like a fine little bump on me, and I just remember him coming over and telling me I should be at home doing my pelvic floor exercises. And I just looked at him square in the eyes and I was like, I'm doing them right now. And he literally was so horrified that he ran. And I was like, I was so mad, because I was like, you know, I had spent so many years, so much money on my education. Like, the benefits of training and pregnancy are so huge. And here you are on a gym floor telling a woman that they should be elsewhere as opposed to here. And again, that's just like the massive problem with the industry, is that there's so many misconceptions about, I mean, in many areas, but particularly in pregnancy and training. So I really enjoyed sharing that, and having, you know, a safe space, I suppose, where I could share it on like the likes of Instagram and Facebook. And I mean, there's always going to be judgment, but I really feel like our audience are always so respectful. So I never felt judged. I felt people were asking questions, and that's what I wanted to encourage and prompt. So I was really, really enjoyed sharing that chapter.
And yeah, that whole area of women's health, is it just comes across as such a passion for you. In what you speak about and what you share. And is it from those, your own experiences of, you know, your bodybuilding and how your body has changed and going through the two pregnancies? Is that kind of what ignited that passion?
Yeah, I think like going back to when I very first started training and seeing how like dominated the gym floor was with males, and that the gym typically wasn't a place for women, and you know, we should be doing cardio versus weights and all the rest. So my passion just for women's health is, I suppose, to nearly be an advocate for showing what we should be doing as opposed to what people or, you know, the internet think we should be doing. So it kind of, it started way back when, and especially from that guidance counselor telling me not to do what I should be doing, like nursing or teaching or business. And I was like, okay, watch this space. And like, even now, like, if you look at all the research studies, it's nearly all on male populations. And thankfully, there's been such a huge shift in the last 10 years. But I'm talking like 21 years ago in UL, doing, you know, research projects and things like that. And like, all of the research was on males. So I suppose it's just trying to be, I wouldn't say I'm a pioneer, but like trying to pioneer for women in health and wellness and fitness, and showing that there is a place, no matter what chapter you are in your life, and putting out information that's, you know, up to date, evidence based, and can be, you know, practically, people can implement it practically into their own lives as well.
I hope you went back to that guidance counselor at some stage in your career and said, here, this is what I've done.
Yeah, he's actually from up the road. So we often have a bit of a giggle about it.
Now, one of your latest business ventures was opening Titan in Portugal. So tell me about that.
Oh my God. Okay. So lockdown, 2020, I was heavily pregnant with Ayla. And we had met a guy mutually here through the gym we were training in. And we were like, we've always wanted to have a facility where we could train ourselves. So obviously growing up in Ireland, the gym setting was like always inside, dark rooms, you know, whatever it might be. And then when I moved to Australia and I saw like, you know, the Fitness First we trained in Sydney, for example, had like this massive balcony space with outdoor equipment and you're looking at the Harbour Bridge. And I was like, It's so cool that they've incorporated the training element, but have also utilized the environmental element. So I was like, how could we potentially achieve something like that here in the Algarve? Because there's nothing like it here. We have 300 days of sun every year and people are going inside to train. So we got thinking, and just before the lockdown started, we looked at a couple of warehouse properties. And I was like, you know, we could have like a little outdoor area. But anyway, COVID came, that kind of parked that idea. And then in the June, Titan Fitness in Thailand reached out and asked, would we be interested in doing like a collaboration with them? And obviously we had worked with them quite extensively over the years with, you know, trips back and forward and all the rest. And we just got together and started looking for potential properties. The building regulations in Portugal are a nightmare. So it was really challenging. And this project had been like 18 months building before we'd even decided on a location. And then it all came together, as it always does. It all comes together so quickly. And yeah, so we have 550 square meters. It's one of the largest outdoor training facilities in Europe. It's amazing. We have like fantastic coaches, villas that accommodate our clients. Myself and Daniel designed the food menu, so it's got like all your protein and macros. We do a nutrition seminar so that people are getting the information, because again, there's just so much misinformation and misconceptions about nutrition, and that's a huge element, especially when it comes to body composition and well-being. And yeah, it's been a wild 12 months. We've had some really big faces there. We've had Catherine Thomas, we had Daniel Davey, Sarah Catterson, Orla Doyle, like really cool coaches from Ireland. And it's just opened up another avenue to meet people and help people in a different regard. It's been awesome.
Amazing. And how did you navigate all of that on top of everything you were already doing?
Honestly, I look back at the last 12 months and I'm like, how did we survive? But I have this saying that some weeks are going to be about thriving and some weeks are going to be about surviving. And there was a lot of surviving last year. My family, luckily, obviously, are just like a couple of hours away and they're fantastic. They're over and back the whole time. So we are super efficient with time management and delegation, and we've a really, really great team here. So like the coaches are super hands-on, and it's definitely not just me and Daniel. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. So grateful to have that support from everywhere else. And I think, you know, a lot of people like yourself just asking that question there, they're like, how do you do everything? I'm struggling to do X, Y, and Z. So it's just a gentle reminder that there is a support team behind us as well. Because I know sometimes like you can get bogged down in like comparing what somebody can achieve in a day and what's up compared to what you can achieve in a day. So yeah, some days are great and some days are really challenging, and we're just incredibly grateful for the staff and the team that we have here helping us with that too.
Yeah, I love the way you're such an advocate for the time management. Like I think you shared a thing on Instagram the other day about like literally every hour of your days are kind of blocked off and you know exactly what you're going to be doing. Do you find that that is essential for your work?
Absolutely. Because we're like juggling ballet, gymnastics, swimming lessons with the kids, and just like obviously our own training, meetings, and then running like obviously the core client work with check-ins and training performance reviews, and then obviously just helping and assisting where we're needed with Titan. So I just find having my calendar, and like I have a list, three lists of things, what I have to do, what I should do, and what would be nice to do. And I always start with what I have to do. So like that would be my core recal work, so client check-ins, training performance reviews, any new programs that need to be designed. I'll schedule those in first, schedule the kids' activities because they're non-negotiable. I'll schedule some form of movement for myself every day. And then from there, I go back to my list of, okay, B, what should I do? and then we'll build on those. And then what would be nice to do, so like small jobs around the house and things like that, that I should be doing. But if I don't get them done, it's not the end of the world, because something I've learned to realize is I can do something, but I can't do everything. And just to try and take back time for ourselves as well, because it has been a really busy 12 months, and just being a little bit more, I suppose, like implementing self-care on that level of just buying back a little time to just live as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So for somebody out there listening who is looking at you and looking at you as such an inspiration in just like stepping into the unknown, creating a life that you are just really enjoying, and it so seems to be so fulfilling for you, is there any little bit of advice that you can give to anyone who, you know, needs that little push to kind of start creating a life that they really actually want to live?
Yeah, I suppose for myself, like, I probably give a little bit of a different spiel on this, because I know a lot of people are like, just go for it, take the risk and all the rest. But for me, it was, you know, you have to be calculated in how you take these risks. Mm. If you have like families, if you've mortgages, you can't just quit your job in the morning and follow your dreams. But what I would say is, like, let's be a little bit more realistic in how you approach things. So if you do have something that you're super passionate about, but you have variables like mortgages and kids that are tying you down into your current position, look at how could you create a side hustle. Could you delegate 3 to 4 hours a week of something that you're interested in? So just for example, you're an accountant, but you really want to get into the fitness regime, but you can't give up the financial stability of your accounting job. What could you do for 3 or 4 hours every week that's going to, you know, get your toes in the water? You know, are you actually to give you that experience of whether you really want to work in the fitness industry? Because that's something a lot of people, I think, see as well. It, like, it looks very glamorous and cool, and you can travel and you can do all this online. But is it something that you actually want to do? Like, when you are self-employed, you never switch off. There's always something. I go to bed every night and I'm like, okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z, you know, as opposed to I have friends that just love clocking off at 5 o'clock and not having that responsibility and worry. So I think creating a little side hustle of whatever your dream is, getting your toes in the water, seeing if it is something that you're super passionate about, creating a revenue stream. Can you build on that revenue stream and make it consistent? And can you maybe go to a part-time role in your current position while you're building on your other job? And eventually you're just like changing the balance of how much work you were doing in your original position versus now. And that doesn't sound very cool, but to me, it's just a little bit more of a realistic approach, because you just don't want people, you know, you can't sell people the dream as well, because it is really challenging, especially now. Like, when we started online, there was 2 other online coaches in Ireland. So we were lucky in terms of it wasn't a saturated market, whereas now it's, you know, it's so busy, like especially since COVID, because a lot of people went online and didn't go back to kind of in-person settings and stuff. So it is, I like to give more practical and reasonable advice instead of just saying go chase it. And I mean, my dad, I'll never forget sitting down in the office at home one day, and he came in with the Clare Champion, which is like the local paper. And he's like, they're looking for a staff in Bank of Ireland. And I was like, Dad, I have my own business. What are you talking about? And because he could not understand the concept of working online. So in that regard, if there is somebody challenging, like where you want to go with your dreams and all the rest, definitely don't be afraid to follow them and chase them. But I just think it's a smart move to do it in a manner that is going to be calculated, as opposed to just going all in from the start.
That's really smart advice. And something you mentioned there, so like obviously the industry, and not just this industry, but we're just talking about fitness now and how it's kind of a bit saturated. But at the time when you were starting, you said there was 2 others, I think, online in Ireland. So if it's somebody who's trying something new and there's no blueprint out there, like that's kind of what you did. You really had to kind of start from scratch. Do you have any advice for that, so navigating kind of unknown waters?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was just a matter of kind of winging it to begin with. There were no apps. There was no, like, how we should be doing it, how do you deliver these things? And it was just trying to be like, okay, we're both into health and fitness ourselves. How, what would be your expectation if you were to take someone on as a coach? What would you expect from them? And obviously over the years, the expectations have increased substantially because of the software that is available. But back then it was like, okay, I know that I can help you. I'm well qualified. I am super passionate about, you know, taking a holistic approach, be it body composition or just women's health in general. So that having your message and your values very clear, the rest of it just kind of falls into place. And I mean, there, you know, you have to take risks. You have to take ownership of how you're going to do things. And it may not necessarily be the right thing. Like even with Titan, that's only 12 months old. How we did things this time last year is completely different to now. But you look for feedback, you build rapport and relationship with your clients, and you take that feedback on board and keep improving your product or your service.
Amazing. And I love your just in business, your holistic view. As you said, like even the clients you work on, it's not, even though like you're a fitness and nutrition and training company, but it's the holistic view that you take with each of your clients. I love that approach.
Thank you. I think that's also changed over the years, and you become a little bit more grounded when you have kids, because God, they're the biggest time wasters. And it's just been, you know, I suppose for myself, like I've always been a little bit of a perfectionist, and with children, like there's like, we spoke earlier about the chicken pox jail for the month of April. Like there was literally hardly any training done for that month. And before I would have gotten frustrated at myself, but it's like, Amanda, be real with yourself. You can only control the controllables that are within your grasp. So instead it was putting Ayla into the pram and going for a big walk, or, you know, setting up a couple of dumbbells and doing something while they were resting or playing with their games. So I think that's some, like a huge part of my message is, you will have weeks where you will absolutely nail it, and you'll have weeks where things go out the window. And instead of learning that this is like an on and off process, it is just a process where some weeks will be a lot smoother than others. So I think that is something I really try to hone in with our clients and like anybody that follows us online as well.
Amazing. Amanda, we're coming to the end. So I wanted to ask you about your anchors in life. So the things that you use or any tools that you have to kind of keep you grounded, or, you know, if things start on the outside, start getting a bit away from you, what do you always come back to make you feel good?
Movement for sure. So like, be it a gym session, be it going out for a walk, going for a swim, movement for me has always been a massive source of stress management and something that I always come back to. But last October I actually started a course in mindful based stress reduction, and it was so eye-opening because it's something I've always kind of been conscious of course with our with the business and the mindset element of things, but it's something I never really set aside for myself too much just because time was so limited. So I've started doing like a little bit more meditation, and I like, even with that, just like delving into what types of meditation suit me. I am more of a movement meditator as opposed to sitting there in silence, because I find it really hard to quieten my mind. And again, I would have just seen like I'm failing at this because I can't do it, instead of just realizing that there's many ways to achieve a certain goal, and you just have to find the way that works best for you. And I think that can be implemented to nutrition and training and so many different avenues as well. So I've definitely become a little bit more consistent with my practice. I journal regularly, and I look at ways that I can just be a better mother, a better friend, better partner. And I just thrive on having really nice social connections. We're very great, very, very grateful and lucky to have a lovely network here of expats that are all in the same boat. So it's like, you know, that quote, raising a child is like being part of a village or whatever it is. We are literally that village here, because there's so many expats that don't have like family to call on. So we just all come together, and it's been really nice. So I definitely think for me, movement, having really nice relationships and social connections with people, and just taking joy in my job as well. And something that I have been a little bit more focused on this year is just realizing it's not all about the grind. And sometimes just sitting back and enjoying what you've built is as important as the actual process itself.
It absolutely is. And both of you, you and Daniel, should definitely sit back more often and just take it all in, because you've just built up an incredible business.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a wild journey, that's for sure.
Now, Amanda, if anyone wants to get in touch with you about anything or about working with you, how should they get in touch?
You can pop onto the website, which is recalibratedbodies.com, or you can connect through Instagram or Facebook, and it's just Recalibrated Bodies as well. And then if there's anybody with any interest in Titan Fitness, it's Titan Fitness Algarve for all websites, Facebook and Instagram.
Brilliant. Okay, so finally, what's next, or can you share, do you have other big plans for Recalibrated Bodies or Titan?
Recal is doing really well at the moment. We've brought in a couple of new products in the last kind of 6 to 9 months, which you've been a massive part of as well. So that's been a really nice, I suppose, change in direction with the business. And with Titan, Titan is running itself at the moment. We have a great manager in place since February. And my next little venture is, I really want to have a little cafe. So I've been looking at spaces, but I think I'll be divorced if I do anything this year. So I'm going to park that until next year and come back to it.
Do you know what? That's an idea. It's something I used to toy with about, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago. I just think a cafe would be such a lovely thing to have.
I know. And Daniel's like, but you're so busy. I'm like, but it would be the perfect opportunity. I could talk all day. It is like so up my, so up my alley. And there is like a massive, there's a massive gap in the market here for the ideas that I have with the kind of cafe I'd like to bring. But I'm definitely going to park that until next year and just enjoy the summer with the kids and Danielle, do a little bit more traveling, be back on the road again. We'd done like 61 countries in 4 years, and the last 12 months we were grounded because we just wanted to make sure everything with Titan was okay. So we're kind of getting back on the road this year and have some nice holiday plans to look forward to. So yeah, I'm going to park that idea until next year.
Yeah, I'm sure Daniel will be happy with that one. Amanda, thank you so much for your time and for sharing all that, all your story and information.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was lovely chatting to you.
Thank you for listening to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. I hope you got something out of listening to the chat today. Until next time, keep striving to be healthy.